We open with hymn number 546. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of all my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy.
Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who didst send thy Son to be made flesh, that by his death he might atone for our sins and deliver us from eternal death, we pray thee confirm in our hearts the hope that our Lord Jesus Christ, who with but a word raised the widow's son, in like manner will raise us on the last day and grant us eternal life. Through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this 16th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 5th chapter of Job, the 17th through the 26th verse. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. He shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7 no evil shall touch you. In famine he shall redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine, and you shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For you shall have a covenant with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with you. You shall know that your tent is in peace. You shall visit your dwellings and find nothing amiss. You shall also know that your descendants shall be many, and your offspring like the grass of the earth. You shall come to the grave at a full age, as a sheaf of grain ripens in its season. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 3rd chapter of Ephesians, verses 13 through 21. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Here ends the epistle lesson. The heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Hallelujah. Our gospel lesson is found in the 7th chapter of Luke, verses 11 through 17. Glory be to thee. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and he touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet is risen up among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee.
We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 372.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, in God our Father, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is found in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, the 18th through the 24th verse. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling which speaks better things than that of Abel. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Christ Jesus, this is a truly wonderful scripture that we have received from our Lord, because it has the answer to every broken church, every broken heart, and every broken family. If only men would hear and believe what God here declares, the world would be a very different place. Christian churches would be packed to the brim every Sunday with people who come to confess their sins and gladly learn of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Every church would have as its only mission the joyful task of receiving penitent sinners and healing them with the forgiveness of sins by good preaching and the pure sacraments. That is not the world we live in, where all people take to heart the word of God. The very fact that every person needs to appear before God as a penitent sinner means that most people will never come and repent of their sins. Because sin is of a nature that it protects itself. It perpetuates itself. Just as sinful parents have sinful children, even those who are taught the truth with great care still fall away and follow their own hearts and the devil's temptations. The foremost way that sin protects itself is not by considering sin to be sin. And the only way that sin can honestly consider itself to not be sin is to not consider God to be God. That he is truly holy, that he is just, and that he is wrathful against sin. No one who knows sin for what it is and knows God for who he is can treat sin lightly, nor can such a person ever imagine in his heart that he can overcome sin by keeping the law of God. Once you know God as he reveals himself, it becomes a terribly fearful thing to hear even one of his commandments, much less to imagine keeping it. Our text today urges us to understand the holy nature of our God and the terrible fruit of his justice and wrath by looking to Mount Sinai, where God gave the law to Moses, because that is where we see a true picture of God's holy nature and the way that he must deal with sin and the proper response to that wrath and holiness, trembling and fear. What did the people of Israel experience on that day? Well, they had an actual sight and senses. They could touch this mountain, had they dared. And what they saw was quite a cacophony of sight and sound. There was the appearance of the mountain burning with fire and thick smoke and blackness and darkness and storms. And there was the sound in a thundering voice like the sound of a trumpet. God himself spoke the Ten Commandments. So terrible was this voice that the Israelites cried out to Moses, begging him to talk to God himself and not let God talk to them anymore, or they would surely die. They asked Moses to take their place And God commended the Israelites for this, because it showed that they were properly fearing him and his law. They got the point. Then there was the holiness of the place and the sinfulness of those who heard. Anyone other than Moses who so much as touched the mountain had to be put to death. And even if one of their cattle strayed and touched the mountain, they were to kill it. With all of this, even Moses could hardly endure it. He was afraid and he trembled. If only everyone who examines himself would consider God and his commandments in that way. Then when we think about the demands of his law, we would be just as afraid. We would be just as ready to cower, to cover our ears because we cannot bear to hear it any longer. Oh, it would be so easy here to point out how many churches treat God's law as merely a self-help guide and God himself as a life coach instead of the holy God whose voice strikes fear and dread into the hearts of those who hear him. But let us pull the plank out of our own eye first. We treat his voice lightly too. We disregard it. We reason in our hearts, God is love. So it doesn't really mean that all that fire and brimstone stuff isn't really what he means. I don't need to take his threats seriously. He doesn't really mean me. I am not like the evil Israelites. I am not that bad. Because I'm forgiven, I don't have to think of God as dreadful and holy. In large and small ways, you have all done this. You have all thought of God as a dog on a short leash, all bark but no bite. Or as background noise, or just as the nagging of your conscience. You have all done it every day because you do not have before your eyes a fiery mountain filled with smoke and darkness, or a trumpet blast, or a voice of thunder coming from the heavens. In fact, you were just like the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, because as soon as they no longer heard the voice and they could turn away from the smoke and fire, they wandered off and they forgot what they saw and they heard, and before you know it, they had so forgotten the Lord that they made a golden calf and began to worship it. The seeker-sensitive churches treat sin as a bad habit that can be overcome with the right exercises and frame of mind. We do far worse. We acknowledge our sin for what it is, and then we tell ourselves it doesn't matter. Which is worse? They're both bad. In either case, we've forgotten the fear of the Lord. Mount Sinai shows us why we should be afraid of God. Because he is still that same God. If only all men would think of this dreadful sight whenever they consider his law. Because that is how we should consider the commandments of God. That is how we as sinners should think on God, who is still glorious and holy and just. The fear that the people of Israel had on that day should be the fear that every one of us has when we hear his law. Because if you apply the commandments to yourself, you should be afraid and tremble like Moses. Mount Sinai is what God's law is to us sinners. But most of the time we have sanitized God's law and God's holy nature. And we have forgotten that for us sinners, God in his holiness must always be a God of fire, thunder, lightning, and the trumpet blast of his commandments. The only right response is fear of being a sinner in the hands of such a God. That God which we see on Mount Sinai is the true God. He does not change. Mount Sinai should still thunder today as much as it did for Israel.
Mama.
And even as he is still this same God, the author of the text declares, we have not come to that mountain. Every part of Mount Sinai is true. And we should always think of God to be just that God. But that is not our mountain any longer. For God does indeed want to take away your fear and your dread of his holiness, justice, and wrath. He does not want to leave you afraid and trembling. He has prepared for you another mountain. And he has brought you to it just as surely as he brought Israel out of Egypt to Mount Sinai. Our mountain is Mount Zion. It is the city of the living God, the Jerusalem which is above in heaven. And it is the great festal gathering of the angels. There is glory in this mountain also, and God is holy here also. He is even called the judge of all. And yet there is no dread here. There is no terror. There is no death. It is a festal day, a feast of gladness. There is joy and peace and contentment. This is now the mountain to which our God has brought us today. But if God does not change, how can this same God who must thunder against us and our sins now bring us to such a place of life, joy, and peace? Where did his thunder go? Where is the fire and the smoke of his presence? God has given us a mediator just like he gave Moses to Israel. One that speaks for us just as Moses spoke for Israel. But one who stands in our place as Moses could not. And one who bears the thunder and the smoke and the fire and the dreadful death that threatens all sinners should they touch that place. The wrath which caused the ground to quake has been poured out in full upon our mediator, Jesus Christ. Remember that Sinai was dreadful only for sinners. But where sin is removed, so is the dread and fear of death and the wrath of God. Where there is no sin, the commandments of God are silent, and the earth stands still, and the thunder ceases, and a new and glorious morn breaks forth upon us. Even so, in just this way, Jesus, our mediator, has taken our place under God's wrath by the shedding of his blood. And in so doing, he has led us from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion. This is a city of just men made perfect. A just man is one whom God has judged and has found to be innocent of all sin. But here is the glorious thing. It is of just men made perfect. Every just man in Mount Zion is made the way he is. He was not that way originally. And that means that everyone in Zion was once a sinner in the hands of an angry God, but are now perfect and whole and clean. And what is more, it does not say these things about some future state, some glorious destiny that they may someday arrive at. It says that this is where we are today. This is the most glorious truth because it shows us that even in our sin, even with death and eternal damnation as our rightful reward, there is a remedy that can make us perfect and holy so that we can stand before God without fear. And the remedy is the blood of Jesus, which is a blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Abel's blood cried out from the ground for vengeance. The blood of Jesus also cries out. It cries out for your pardon. Even as God heard the cry of Abel's blood and marked Cain and made him an outcast, God hears the cry of Jesus' blood and he gives you pardon and peace and he marks you as his own. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all sin. It has made you perfect and holy. Where then is Mount Zion? It says we cannot touch it like we can touch Mount Sinai, a mountain that still stands to this day. Where is this glorious place where Jesus stands as our mediator? Where his blood cleanses us from sin. Where God shines forth with glory that does not destroy, but that loves and brings joy. It is not some future home that God has promised you, but one that he gives you today. And just because it cannot be touched with hands does not mean that it cannot be found. For it is right here. You are in it now. It is the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Your name is written in the book of life because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from sin. And because your name is written there, God has called you into this church by faith. It is not hard to find the church of the firstborn, for it is the place that he here clearly describes. where the terror of Mount Zion has been silenced by the blood of Jesus, with the place where Jesus' blood has cleansed you from your sin. It is the place where forgiveness is declared to you by our mediator Jesus in the mouth of his servants here on earth. It is here in the Holy Christian Church where we have God's word and his absolution and his very blood in the sacrament of the altar. This is where God has brought you, for he has made you perfect in that blood. Therefore, leave Mount Sinai behind. That is not your mountain any longer. Come and rejoice in the forgiveness of sins, which are declared to you here in Mount Zion. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom thy whole family in heaven and earth is named, we worship thee for thy manifold wisdom, thy mighty works, and thy perfect holiness. But especially do we praise thee for our reconciliation to thee through the sufferings and death of thy dear Son, which thou didst purpose in eternity, that we through faith in him might confidently bring to thee our prayers and petitions. Out of thy surpassing goodness, grant thy Spirit unto us, who ever need thy help and mercy. Give us the right knowledge of thy majesty and power, and the holy fear which is the beginning of wisdom. Reveal unto us thy grace by providing for the wants and needs of this present life. Let thy mercy descend upon us like the morning dew, and grant us life, health, and contentment. Deliver us from every danger to body or soul. Above all, we entreat thee to look upon our spiritual frailty, which we are powerless to remedy, and strengthen us by thy Holy Spirit with sure faith in Jesus Christ. Grant unto us the conviction of thy pardon and peace, that our wills might be made subject to thine, and that all our actions might be motivated by faith and love. Let the exceeding love of Christ persuade thy church and pervade it, that it may flourish in love for the brethren and in every good work. May it show forth the exceeding greatness of thy love, which is as broad as all mankind, as long as eternity, and as deep as any human need. Bestow upon the nations of the earth such knowledge of thy glory, that they may turn to thee, the only God, and thy Son, Jesus Christ, and find salvation. Grant also thy favor upon this land, that multitudes within her borders may turn from evil and come to faith and be filled with all thy fullness. and as thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, enlarge our trust, so that we will unfailingly come to thee in prayer with believing hearts, beseeching thee for all our wants and needs. Give us a special measure of thy power. Give a special measure of thy power to those who are sick, who are in sorrow, or who are mourning, to those who are in pain, and to those who may be in any temptation or peril, that they may receive thy blessed aid. And although we have deserved thy chastening and correction, help us to receive them with faith, knowing that thereby thou art in love preparing us for that joyful communion with thee, which is for all eternity. These things we beseech of thee, O God, through our Redeemer and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We sing hymn 377. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the
Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, the Lamb of God, let's take us away.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Oh,
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us in the same, through faith in thee, toward one another, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 50. And keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.